It's Conservative Cat on Cities 92.9, the news and talk of Bloomington Normal. And with me, I have Donald Reince, and he is running for state representative in the Illinois 105th District. Now, currently that district is held by State Representative Dan Brady. The maps got redrawn. We've added a 91st legislative district. But first, I really want to get into your background and who you are and why you decided to run for a state representative seat.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Kat.
Of course.
I grew up on a farm outside of Dana and graduated from Dana-Rutland High School. And then I went on to Illinois Valley Community College in Oglesby. After I graduated from there, I started working for the Department of Corrections and was a correctional officer for 6 years, working in Stateville, but mostly Pontiac. Pontiac Prison is a correctional officer there.
So what was that like? I know I have a few friends who are correctional officers, and what they have always told me is that it is probably the toughest job that you could have in the United States, or period.
Well, in the 80s, it was a real hot area. I mean, as far as working inside the prisons, it was fights every day and a lot of stuff going on. Mm. After I left there, they locked down Pontiac probably within a year, less than a year, where the inmates were locked up like 23 hours a day. But generally, when I was there, they were all running loose and everything, you know, and stuff. Yeah, and you got gang hits on you, and you had all kinds of fun. So it was interesting. So
I could only imagine, and I thank you for because that is a job of service. And I want to get into some of your key issues. So Okay. Shifting gears there, what are some of your key issues that you want to see for the 105th District specifically?
Well, you know, the government is here, you know, it has limited rights, right? The people are the ones with the rights. And it seems like the government's taken over our rights, you know. And you have a governor running by fiat, you know, and he's setting up emergency rules every month. And that was unconstitutional. How did people even follow him? It took 2 years to throw that out. How did people even follow those rules? You know, you're only good for a month, and then you got to go to the legislator, which is the voice of the people. We're the representatives of the people, right? Mm-hmm. And he is supposed to come to us, you know, if we're representatives, and to come out with how we're going to handle the situation. Mm. And you know, we represent the people. And we're governed by the people. The people run this government, not the politicians. We're the servants, not the rulers.
Now, that's one thing throughout the entirety of COVID-19 and all of those mandates, I just kept kicking myself in the foot. I'm like, why in the world is it that our state legislators are not there actually legislating and all of this is coming down via EO? It just seemed very backwards to me.
Yeah, and they didn't. You know, you had like Bailey fighting it and stuff, but they should have been unified in fighting this since they are our representatives. Mm-hmm. And the laws were being broke, in my opinion, and they should have never been followed from what the governor mandates.
Yeah, there was a core group there that would, and I call them the squad, the good squad, where there are, you know, five of them, and I think State Representative Blaine Wilhauer is one of those, and then Senator Darren Bailey. Now, we were talking a little bit off air before we came on about this fuel tax. Mm-hmm. So earlier in the week, we had Dan Brady come on, and he had said that this fuel tax is lockbox and it goes towards roads. And then he had also said that he raised it in 2019, and that was something that he did, you know, because it hadn't been raised since the 90s, and that this is actually a tax to help hard infrastructure when it comes to our roads here in the 105th district. I live in the 105th district. And what do you think about that? Would that be something that's a hot button issue right now? Gas prices, would that be something you would suspend or bring down in a percentage wise? What do you think about the tax overall?
Well, the gas tax, I mean, 2016 was passed where any of those types of laws that come into place have to be lockboxed. That's a constitutional change. They have to be lockboxed. They can't be spent on other projects. And that 19 cent a gallon increase, which doubled our gas tax, you know, brought us, put us to 38, 39 cents, compared to the $3 a gallon that's gone up, you know, is a drop in the bucket. It's that $3 a gallon that's killing us. We were $179 what a couple of years ago, and now we're $379, mm-hmm. $479. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ridiculous. The reason that the Republicans voted for it, I was told there was 10 that Madigan requested from the Republican leadership 10 Republicans to vote for this gas tax. And that way they would be able to leave their Republican part of the pork projects, whatever they had in the Republican side, in it. If they didn't do that, then they would take theirs out. And then since they had a supermajority, it didn't even matter what the governor thought, right? They could pass it. But, you know, that's kind of concerning that we were, you know, they're working together to raise this gas tax, you know, in a deal in order to get some Republican money in their districts in it. But that also took 10, did it? I mean, my question is, did that take 10 Democrats off the hook? Were they close in their district of, if they voted for gas tax, losing their seat?
Mm.
So, I mean, that's a question that would people would have to look at. I don't know. I didn't research that far, but that's, you know, why did Madigan need 10 Republicans to vote for it?
Right, right. So the Democrats who didn't vote for it, there's those 10 Democrats that didn't vote for it, and they needed the 10 Republicans. Yeah, and it's concerning when there are state representatives who were on that ticket and voted that way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And now with this new knowledge that I have, and I didn't know that Madigan, I'll look into it about how Madigan had requested that there be 10 Republicans that vote for this yep. way. And that just doesn't sound like, yes, his job as speaker is to whip votes, but why specifically 10 Republicans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you also remember that it's not nice, just 19 cents. This is a forever increase every July, depending on inflation.
Mm.
So this July, you're going to get another inflation. And, you know, you get the Governor Pritzker saying, I'm going to drop a cent. I'm going to drop this by 1 cent, the gas tax, you know, to really help alleviate the tax problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're up over $3 more a gallon. But there's a bill out there right now where they're talking about letting the municipalities raise the gas tax on a local level by 3 cents a gallon without having to go to the people to get it approved.
Mm. And when you say local municipal level,
municipal
so
level.
That would be the town councils.
Yeah.
So yeah. 105th district. And tell me a little bit about where that 105th district lies.
Okay. See, like you said, you had Brady in it as far as, but my representative was Tom Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was not in the 105th. The 105th is a little bit north of Tonica. Then it comes up a little bit, goes over to Hennepin, Henry. In that area, but it goes all the way down to Washington and into Sunnyland some
mm-hmm.
on the west side. East side is Pontiac, but it has like a cutout of Pontiac, and then it's kind of west of that on Pontiac. And it comes down to North Normal and a little bit of Bloomington, mm-hmm. just a tiny bit of Bloomington on the old east side over here.
Yeah.
So let's see. So it's a fairly large, it's like a diamond shape in the middle of the state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I live dead center in the middle of it. Between Benson and Minook. And my address is Benson, and I think about a mile north of Minook is the dead center physically of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's kind of funny how you mention the gas tax at the municipal level, and I'll just share with you. I do like Scott Prosser, and I like Dan Brady, too. I think that I think politicians need to be held accountable, and the best way to do that is look at your voting record. So recently, there is a gentleman who's running in the 91st. His name is Jim Fisher, right? And Scott Preston is also running in that district as a Republican. And there's always going to be rifts, right? So I had gotten an email from his team, Scott Preston's team, about how you need to correct your story. Scott Preston never voted for this gas tax that Jim Fisher had referred to in the story that I wrote about Jim Fisher running in the district. He said, Scott Preston voted for the gas tax. I won't do that. That's how I'm different from my candidate, right? Their team emailed me and said, hey, can you please revise this story? So he didn't vote for the gas tax in 2021. I dig a little bit deeper, and because I was like, you know, I think I fact-checked this, and I made sure that he did actually vote for the gas tax. And I was like, let me look back in a couple of years. Turns out 2015, he proposed the gas tax, and he voted for that gas tax. So I think at the municipal level, and I think that state representatives, they get out of this whole thing because they don't realize that you're being taxed at every level. Right. And what would you say to Republicans, maybe like a Scott Preston, like a Dan Brady, who are voting for those taxes, even though they've got the R in front of their name?
Well, I think Jim was the Tea Party leader down here when they had a tea party, and it's all about not raising taxes. Mm. And I'm not about raising taxes at all. You know, the state's got a spending problem. It doesn't have a funding problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course there are pension issues. You know, we have 20% of our money of the state going to pensions, right? The money. So you got to kind of figure out where you're going to get the money from and find the money to spend if you got other projects. You spend what you have. You don't spend what you don't have, and you don't put a further burden on the people who are putting you in office.
Right.
You're there to serve them, not the other way around.
So we've been talking to Donald Reince. Yep. I'm saying that right. Donald Reince.
That's
it's spelled
R-E-I-E.
Or R-I-E-N-T-S. R-I-E-N-T-S. And he's running in the 105th District. And Donald, tell me a little bit about how I can get in touch with you and a little bit more about your campaign.
Okay, I have Facebook pages, you know, Donald Ray Reince, you know, for 105th, and I have my regular Facebook page, and I have a website that you can contact me at donald@reince.net, and email me there. You can email me from there, or if you look at the campaigns at the Illinois state side, it's got my home phone number there as well. But now I'll get all these phone calls, right?
You know? Yeah, right.
But that's fine. Yeah, you can contact me all these different ways. And the people, like I said, a lot of people in the community know me. I live at Dead Center, and I worked at Dead Center of it. You know, I worked at Caterpillar, you know, for ATS. You know, I've worked down here in Bloomington for over 30 years at a national insurance company. And I'm still here working at the insurance company. So it made it kind of hard on the campaign road going out there knocking on doors. Well, we did it. So we got 821 petitions. We only needed 400.
Congratulations on getting in and getting your petitions in. I know that's hard work. Hey, you're listening to Conservative Cat on Cities 92.9. Thanks so much, Donald.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me.